I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll.
A school teacher who was bypassed for a promotion went to the administrator and indignantly complained. I have 20 years of experience, and you promoted someone who has only been teaching for 5 years. The administrator thought for a moment, and then he calmly replied, No, you don't have 20 years of experience. You have 1 year of experience 20 times over. You're still teaching the same things in the same way you did in your very first year. You haven't grown in your profession. Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host, and I'm delighted to have you with me today. We're continuing our study in the book of 2 Peter, and Dr. Yoder's message is titled, Grow in Fruitfulness. You know, God wants each of us to grow in fruitfulness. He wants us to grow to be more like Him, to become more effective representatives of Himself. But that will only happen if you and I are willing to learn.
Help me to be holy, O Father of light. Guilt, burden, and lowly, I bow in thy sight. How shall a stained conscience dare gaze on thy face? E'en though in thy presence thou grant me a place. Help me to be holy, O Savior divine. Why conquer so slowly this nature of mine? Stamp deeply thy likeness where Satan's hath been. Subdue with thy brightness my darkness and sin. Help me to be holy, O Spirit divine. Come, sanctify wholly this temple of thine. Now cast out each idol, here set up thy throne. Reign without rival, supreme and alone.
I hope that's your prayer too. You know, pruning is a necessary part of fruit bearing. Any fruit grower will tell you that a tree or a vine left to itself quickly loses its maximum productivity. Every year, the trees or the vines must be pruned to remove dead or diseased branches, or excess or misdirected growth. In John chapter 15, we read these words of Jesus, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, it should be obvious that Jesus wasn't talking only about plants in these verses. He was talking about his followers, those who have been grafted in to the true vine. You and I can only reach our fruit-bearing potential as we cooperate with him, as we abide in him. His precious Holy Spirit wants to take out of our lives those attitudes and actions that hinder our fruitfulness. And I know the pruning knife is sharp and the cutting away is painful. But the blessing of increased fruitfulness in our lives brings great joy. And we need to see life from God's perspective. Otherwise, we'll resist that pruning process. Here are the men to lead us in a song of prayer.
Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. O make me understand it, help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Was it the nails, O Savior, that bound thee to the tree? Nay, 'twas thine everlasting love, thy love was shown to me. Oh, make me understand it, help me to take to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Then melt my heart, O Savior, bend me, yet break me down, until I Lord and sovereign crown. Oh, make me understand it, help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin.
And now here's Dr. Yoder with today's message, Grow in Fruitfulness.
Peter's experiences certainly must have taught him much. He came a long, long way from being a fisherman with his boats and nets to being a devoted follower of the Lord of Glory. Oh, what a path in life! He learned many lessons the hard way, we say. After the resurrection, according to John's Gospel, chapter 21, Peter decided to go back to the old way. He said, I'm going fishing. And several of the other disciples said, we're going along. So they went fishing, and they fished all night, caught nothing. The next morning, a stranger was on the shore and advised them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat, and they caught a net full of fishes. The disciple John immediately knew it was the Lord who was the stranger on the shore. Then after breakfast came the testing time for Peter, when Jesus asked him, Do you love me more than these? Now let me point out to you what may be a possible meaning of the word these. That pronoun can be in the neuter gender, so Jesus may well have been referring to the fishing tackle, because Peter said, I am going back to fishing. Jesus asked him, Do you love me more than your fishing rig? And Peter said, Yes, I love you. It meant, as Jesus instructed him to feed the sheep, that he would never go back to fishing on the Sea of Galilee. It meant complete severance, never to return. Well, Peter also learned by his encounters with the religious opposition after Pentecost that he needed to obey God rather than man. That was the choice after being filled with the Holy Spirit that Peter gladly made. In their second epistle, Peter longed to see his fellow believers also grow in fruitfulness. Listen now as I read 2 Peter 1:5-9. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. My friend, I see that Peter has given us some very needful instructions to enable us to grow in fruitfulness. I want you to follow me carefully. Have your Bible open so that you will be able to see what these instructions are. The first instruction is, give diligence. Give diligence. Now that means we are to concentrate on what we are doing. So many people seem to be scatterbrained. It is difficult for them to concentrate on anything. Well, we've taught ourselves to have a short attention span. So we are at this for a few minutes, and then we're at something else for a few minutes, and then we're at something else a few minutes, and we do not get down to be diligent. This is the word Peter gave us. That's the instruction Peter gave us. Give diligence. Take control of your actions. And he said what should be done. Now notice, very interestingly, that we should make some connection between verse 5 and verse 1. In verse 1, Peter said, is writing to those who have obtained like precious faith. In verse 5, he said, give all diligence to add to your faith, your most precious faith. Add to it. Now here are the qualities that we should add to faith. First is virtue. That means courage, vigor, energy, firmness. Be convinced. If you are convinced, then you can be convincing. If you are unsure, you can't convince anybody. So virtue means to be convinced and have courage and firmness. So add to your faith virtue. Then add to your virtue knowledge. My friend, this is knowledge by experience, more than book learning. You can learn it in a book, all right, but you must translate what you read in a book and put it in your heart. People have head knowledge, but it doesn't seem to get down to the heart. The knowledge Peter is speaking of is functioning knowledge, knowledge that will make a difference in life. So you add to virtue knowledge. Then you add to knowledge temperance. We don't use that word very often anymore, because in 1932, the temperance law was repealed when Franklin Roosevelt ran for office. But what temperance means is to have mastery over all evil tendencies and appetites. That requires a base for moral decision. You can't have temperance without some moral values that have been established. To temperance, we are to add patience. Patience means steadfastness under trial, perseverance under stress and strain. Patience means a stand up under. To patience, we're to add godliness. That means devotion to God's will in all of life. Therefore, no decision should be made without Him. Without consulting God, we should make no decision. To godliness, add brotherly kindness, which means to reach out to one in need with more than words. Don't fall into the trap that the letter James talks about. And you can say, oh, God bless you, go and be warmed and fed, but you do nothing at all. Brotherly kindness means to reach out to those who need help. And finally, charity. Charity is love in action. There's a nice little undertone about the word charity that, to me, the word love does not quite convey. The word love here means the kind of love that is like God's love, and God's love is a giving love. Charity is generally thought of more in terms of giving and doing for others. I want you to notice the cap sheaf of all these qualities is love. Love. I've been contemplating what the Apostle Paul wrote in that great love chapter. When he finished it off, he said, "Now abides faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." I note in Peter's writing, he begins with faith and finishes with love. May I suggest that all the other qualities in between might be encompassed in the word hope? Well, think about that. So on the foundation of faith, we must give diligence to build these qualities which identify the Christian and top them off with love. The second instruction I find in verse 8, which I phrase like this, show excellence. Let me read that verse right now again. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, friend, that's really a reality, not an option. These qualities being in you, the argument is that they are. Whenever these qualities, these things are in you, then you will be fruitful. You will not be barren nor unfruitful. But here is an increasing reality. If they are in you and abounding, they're growing. You know, the greatest room in the world is a room for improvement. None of us are beyond that point. Tomorrow can be better than today. Today should be better than yesterday. There is always room for improvement, and these qualities become a seedbed for fruit bearing. Out of these qualities will emerge a wonderful and fruitful Christian life. Draw your sustenance from Jesus, because it is stated here that we will grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the sad truth is this, my friend. We either grow or stagnate, and when we stagnate, we die. I therefore urge you, put forth every sincere effort to abound in these qualities and show the excellence of life with Jesus. So with these qualities in proper relation, we will be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this we should deeply long. There's a third instruction Peter gives us. It is, avoid negligence. That ninth verse has something of a sour note in it, doesn't it? "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off." The sad tragedy is lack, when the lack would not be needed. The absence of these qualities would not be needed, but whenever anyone lacks them, the reason is he is short-sighted. He is myopic. He is nearsighted. He's blind. He is not only short-sighted, he is also short-memoried. Because he forgets. He has forgotten or neglected to remember what the Lord has done for him. Oh, we should come across that frequently, my friend. We should remember with deep thanksgiving what the Lord has done for us. He has saved us out of a life of debauchery and from an eternal hell. Think what took place when you were saved. I'm assuming that you are saved. If not, you can be saved now. But I'm assuming that you are saved. Think about what happened when the Lord rescued you out of a life of sin. Take the long look back. Maybe it was not so long. But look back, and then look ahead. Take the far-off look. See what is yet to come. Remember, life is more than the now. Therefore, determine now to grow in fruitfulness. Do not be satisfied to stagnate and even lose out. Avoid negligence. Press on to fuller realization of what your relationship with Jesus can mean in this life and in the life beyond. Give diligence. Show excellence. And avoid negligence. Now, my friend, as I say, Avoid negligence. Put your heart in your experience. Enjoy the excellence of growth by giving diligence to build upon your faith with these qualities and top them off with love like God's love. Now let's pray. Father, some of these concepts are so big, so vast, so all-encompassing that sometimes they are difficult for us to grasp. But I pray now that the Holy Spirit may clarify in our minds what is possible in the Christian life, that we might grow in fruitfulness through having these qualities added to our faith and emerging into fruitfulness for the glory of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, o'er the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When I wake to life immortal, wing my flight to realms of day,
this my song
through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
My friend, are you growing in fruitfulness as a follower of Jesus? You know, optimum growth takes place in a controlled environment. If something or someone is left alone to grow without any supervision or care, there's so much of their potential that will never be fully realized. Our desire here on the Voice of Hope is for you to understand and experience your full potential of fruitfulness in Jesus Christ. That's why we come to you each week with this program of exposition from God's Word. We believe the Holy Scriptures give us instructions about how we can reach our full potential in life for the glory of God. But as Dr. Yoder so clearly stated, we must cooperate with God and the Holy Spirit in that process. Now, one way we can help you to achieve your full potential is by offering you a copy of the message you heard on this program. All you need to do is write and ask for a printed copy of the message. When you do, you'll get the entire series because they're all included in a book titled Sojourners in Faith. And I'll send a copy of that to you if you'll just write and ask for it. If you'd like a copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. And this teaching is available on an audio CD as well. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page where you can see a daily prayer request, you can learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Once again, if you'd like a copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching at your convenience. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-960-0292. And when you send your gift, ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. It's been good to be with you today, my friend. And Lord willing, I look forward to our being together again next week. As we close, I leave you with this question. What is it that gives you stability in your life? I hope you'll join me next time as we explore the answer to that question. And until we meet again,
what?